From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, Pibia Bergen, help me almost it out.
It's Sunday night, and time again transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with Mortimer Smerd, Effie Clinker, Rudy Whistler, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, yours truly, John Easton, and our special guest, Safety Supervisor Mr. Cecil Vaughn. And here they are now, the stars of our show, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, alas, alack-a-day, my heart is heavy as a blimp. Grace Kelly could have had me, but instead she picked a prince.
How are you tonight, Charlie? My old friend, my old buddy.
Are you talking to me, Bergen?
Yes, that's right. My dear chum.
Dear chum. Bergen, has somebody been spiking your wheat germ?
No.
Slipped a Mickey in your yogurt?
No. Not at all, old pal.
Old pal, you know this is getting a little sickening.
Yes.
All right, what did you do, Bergen? What do you want?
Oh, nothing at all. It's just that I consider myself very fortunate in being able to call you friend.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, I'll go along with that, but I'm suspicious here.
I feel that in having you as a pal, I am the richer for it.
Yes, uh-huh. Well, now, how about raising my allowance and let us all get in on this thing, then?
No, I don't know how I can impress you about this, Charlie, but I consider myself lucky to know you.
Yeah. Boy, you really must be in a mess, Bergen. Now, come on. What have you done?
Well, Charlie, I did go to see my doctor yesterday.
Oh. Oh. You need blood.
No.
He needs blood?
No.
The nurse needs blood.
No. The doctor just found that I've been putting on a little too much weight lately.
Oh.
Have you happened to notice my stomach lately?
Notice it? It's been pushing me out in the audience.
Oh.
Some people have a little pot.
Yes.
But you got the whole stove.
No. Anyway, the doctor recommended exercise.
Yeah?
Yes. I thought it'd be a very good idea if I had the use of a bicycle, you know, for exercising.
Yeah?
You know, someone, you know, like you, you have a bicycle, don't you? You do understand?
Yes, I do, yes. You're going to buy a bicycle?
Well, I thought maybe I wouldn't have to resort to buying one.
Oh?
We might figure another way out of it, Charlie, old friend.
Yeah?
Yes.
Another way out, huh?
Yes.
I see. You'll forgive me for being so stupid. You want me to steal a bicycle for you?
No. No, it's not that either exactly, Charlie.
Well, I guess I'm just not as smart as you are, Bergen. I don't get it.
Well, you have a bicycle, don't you?
Yes, I do. That's right. I have a bicycle. And it's mine.
Yes, I know. But you don't use the bicycle a great deal now, do you, Charlie? That is not a great deal.
Well, I just ride it to school every day and ride it home, that's all. I just pump and sweat up and down those hills all day. Every day, that's all.
I see. All I want was the use of your bicycle.
Yeah, well, you ain't going to have it.
Oh, I see, yes.
I hope that's not being blunt.
Yes. Well, you wouldn't do that to an old friend, would you?
I sure would, stranger.
Oh, I see. But my pal, my Charlie Wally.
Now, don't Charlie Wally me. Look, Patsy Wassy.
Yes.
You're making me sticky wicky.
All right.
Oh, how you do, chaps? Pip, pip, cheerio, and all those various British salutations.
Yeah. I'm getting sickier and wickier.
Yeah.
No, but I say, chaps, what's the dispute?
Well, there isn't really any dispute, Ray. It's just that my doctor wants me to take off weight, so he recommended a bicycle.
My word. What unusual diet.
Well, it is. No, 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 you don't understand.
Well,
what
I should say not, no. Allgood. I mean, you must have a beastly time chewing on those tires.
Yeah. You got it all wrong. You see, blubber hips here is supposed to ride on the bike.
Oh. Blubber hips, that's the very idea. I haven't put on that much weight.
You haven't, huh?
No.
Well, then how come I saw a tourist pointing at you and say, look, Mabel, there's Mount Baldy.
No.
I say, Adrian, you know, a friend of mine had a large stomach, and he took to riding a bicycle every day.
Oh, and that got rid of his stomach?
Oh, yes, that's all behind him now.
I see. Well, Charlie, I'm still waiting for your answer.
Now, look, Bergen, if I lent you my bike, would you object to a small service charge?
No. Are you going to loan me your bicycle, or aren't you?
Well, I'll tell you what, how we work this out. I'll let you have it tomorrow, Bergen. But tonight, I'm taking my girl for a little ride on the handlebars.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, a little ride, I see.
Well, Charlie, you can't stop, you know, in Lover's Lane and pull that old line that you're out of gas with a bicycle.
No, but I could always say that I'm too pooped to pedal.
I see.
Ladies and gentlemen, last week our talented and lovely songstress, Carol Richards, thrilled us with Little Mistakes from her new hit, Victor Records. In fact, all of us here on the show liked it so much, we were curious as to what number was on the flip side of the record. So, always anxious to oblige, here is Carol Richards singing, Look at Them.
Look at them, walking so lovingly, arm in arm. Look at them, caught in the spell of each other's charms. And look at me.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Professor Kirkwood's do-it-yourself department.
Ow! Thank you. You're in very good voice tonight, Professor. And now here he is, the man who was born a genius, but outgrew it the first day. Professor Thomas Alva Kirkwood.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry for being late, but I was very busy. You see, this is my olive-picking season.
Oh, you pick olives.
That's right, boy. Out of martinis.
Oh, that's nice.
I like it.
Tell us, Professor, what is the subject for today?
Well, my talk today is for those millions of you who are violating the anti-noise law.
Oh? Just how are they violating it, Professor?
By snoring.
Oh.
Sometimes called sheet music.
Yes, snoring. Sheet music.
Oh, that was you'd have stayed in bed.
Professor, just what do you intend to do about snoring, then?
I'm offering the public my do-it-yourself snore cure kit.
Yeah. How does it work?
Oh, very simple. You see, most snoring is caused from breathing in and out.
Yeah.
Well, my snore cure kit teaches you how to breathe sideways.
That is all in the breathing.
Yes, that's right. If we didn't breathe, we wouldn't snore. But then, everybody's got to breathe.
Oh, howdy, chap.
Of course, there's always an exception to the rule.
Look, I say, old Professor Tapp, just exactly what causes snoring, anyway?
Yeah. Your epiglottis.
Oh, no.
It always happens when your epi gets too big for your glottis.
Yes, I see.
You do?
Yes.
Now, suppose you explain it to me. Anyway, I can guarantee that in no time at all, I can cure anybody's snoring.
How?
With my patented snorkill tube.
Oh, no.
Get it, snorkill tube?
Snorkill.
Well, I said it, and I'm glad.
But we aren't, Professor. That one belongs underwater. Professor, I think you better get on, though.
Yes, it's time for a little commercial on my snore cure kit.
Yes.
Folks, when you sleep, do you sound like an elephant trying to digest a couple of bricks?
Yeah. Is your snore so noisy they can hear it in Boise?
Do you all sleep Western style with those great wide open faces?
Night after night, do you break through the sound barrier?
Are you a nocturnal blowhard?
If you'll excuse me, when you sleep, does your breath come in long draws?
Oh. Does your night breathing sound like the mating call of a lovesick ferry boat? If it does, then buy my snore cure kit and you'll finally be able to say, ah, there's good news tonight.
I say, Professor, you know, perhaps you can help me with my snoring.
Well, I'd be glad to.
Uh-huh.
First, let's get some information. Do you always snore?
Not at all, old boy. Only when I'm asleep.
Anyway, the first thing in learning to quit snoring is learning to hold your breath.
Yes, but how long should I hold my breath?
Well, hold it for 30 days. Nobody calls for it as yours.
Yes, but look here. That might kill me.
Yeah.
Professor, to get back to the topic, have you ever cured anybody?
Why, certainly, boy. Huh? I cured my wife snoring, and you should have heard her every night. She was the inspiration for the cry of the wild goose. Why, she even made cement mixers jealous.
And you cured her.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I bought a big dog, and every time she'd snore and whistle, it would jump on her bed and wake her up.
Pretty clever of you.
Yes. Except for one thing, the dog snored.
Oh.
Well,
problems do arise, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But in my kit, I have a guaranteed sleep producer.
Mm-hmm.
My own special brand of Kirkwood sleeping pills. They come in four sizes. Cat nap, beauty rest,
deep slumber, and what are you doing next New Year's Eve?
You haven't that strong.
Oh, yes, but don't worry. Your money's refunded if you don't wake up.
Oh, all right.
You know, Professor, psychiatrists say that to get to sleep, a man should never take his daytime problems to bed with him.
You mean his wife's got to sleep somewhere else?
You know, I'll buy that.
You know, I hear that some experts also recommend hypnosis as an aid to sleep.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I had one fellow who couldn't sleep, so I used hypnosis on him. Yes. I just looked him in the eye and said, abracadabra, go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Abracadabra, go to sleep.
And did it work?
Well, his abracadabra went to sleep, but the rest of them stayed up all night.
Well, our time is up.
Yeah.
But before we go, Professor, don't you think some old-fashioned advice is really the best?
Oh, you're so right, yes. Boy. Every night, just take a couple of old-fashioned and you really sleep tight.
Ladies and gentlemen, on our last program, we introduced a young man whom we felt had a great singing future ahead of him. And from the mail we've received, it seems that many of you in our audience agreed with us. So here he is, back with us once again, Rudy Whistler.
Thank you very much.
What are you going to sing for us tonight, Rudy?
I'm going to live till I die.
Very sage advice.
I'm gonna live till I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take the town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live until I die. They're gonna say, what a guy. I'm gonna play for the sky. Ain't gonna miss a thing. I'm gonna have my fling. I'm gonna live until I die. The blues will lay low, I'll make them stay, so they'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm an angel, but until then, hallelujah, gonna dance. I'm gonna fly, take a chance, riding high. Before my number's up, I'm gonna fill my cup. I'm gonna live until I die. I'm gonna live until I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take the crown and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live until I die. They're gonna say, what a guy. I'm gonna play for the sky. Ain't gonna miss a thing. I'm gonna have my fling. I'm gonna live until I die. The blues will lay low, I'll make them stay low. They'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm an angel. But until then, hallelujah, gonna dance. I'm gonna fly, take my chance, riding high. Before my number's up, I'm gonna fill my cup. I'm gonna live. Just look at those bruises on your face and head. Why, you look positively atrocious.
Yeah, well, thank you. You look pretty good yourself, Mr. Burns.
Your poor head and those bumps there.
Well,
my.
It's in pretty bad condition.
Well, you don't think they'll have to amputate it, do you?
No, I don't think they'll have to remove your head.
Well, I hope not. I kind of need it as a place to keep my hat, you know.
Yeah. What happened? Were you kicked by a mule?
No, it wasn't that. I
fell off a bar?
No. Ask me if I was hit by a truck.
All right. Were you hit by a truck?
No, I wasn't.
Well, now, how did it happen?
Well, I'll tell you, it was like this. You see, Charlie got me to go into one of them there, wrestling matches.
Wrestling matches?
Yeah. And he covered my face, and I was known as the Masked Moron.
The Masked Moron?
Yeah. You can make a lot of money if you stay in the ring, you know.
I see, yeah. Mortimer, didn't you know what Charlie was getting you into?
I don't know. No, I guess not.
What kind of a fool are you?
Well, my kind, I guess. Charlie said that wrestling was easy.
Oh, you're so gullible.
Yeah. Oh, that was... Yeah. I'm gullible. I'm gullible. I don't know what it means that I'm gullible.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. If Charlie told you black was white, you would believe him.
Yeah. Yes. Well, ain't it?
Oh, no.
I don't know. I haven't traveled very much, I know.
Well, now, who was your wrestling match with?
A fella called Gruesome Guts.
Gruesome Guts.
The Pomona Pulverizer.
I see. Well, isn't he the wrestler who agrees to pay $25 to anyone who could stay in the ring with him 10 minutes?
Yeah, that's the fella. Yeah. Boy, them 10 minutes, they sure flew, yeah. And so did I,
So you went into the ring with the bruiser and you actually exchanged blows with him?
Well, not again. Just kept the ones I got.
I see.
He said he'd pin my ears back.
Weren't you scared?
Oh, I thought maybe they'd look better that way.
So you started mixing?
No. We started mixing. The next thing I knew, I had a turned up nose.
Turned up nose?
Yeah, turned up behind my ear.
Oh, I see.
Made it pretty hard to smell him, though.
Yeah. Tell me then what happened there.
Well, I don't know. Long about that time, I looked up and I saw a face that I recognized in the third row.
That's so? No. A face you recognized? Who was it?
It was me. Oh, yours?
And still you didn't give up. Well, all I can say is, stout fella.
Oh, thanks. You're getting a little bulgy yourself.
I mean, I'm proud that you stood up to him like that. In other words, I'm glad to see that you got red blood in your veins.
Well, he didn't leave very much of it there. Let's face it, he floundered me.
It was really bad.
Yeah, it was. Finally, he got so rough with me that my mask came off.
Well, your mask came off.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
Well, he got one look at my face and he fainted.
Gruesome got fainted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's no getting away from it. I got a face that only a nearsighted mother could love. I know.
And it looks as if you won after all.
I did, yeah.
My. Well, that shows you that you just can't keep a good man down.
So,
did you know who said that?
Well, it must have been some cannibal with indigestion.
No. Well, anyway, this Gruesome Gus, he was out cold. That means that you won the $25.
Yeah, and you know what? Charlie gave me $3 of it.
You mean you only got $3 and Charlie got the rest of it?
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes, you know. Yeah.
Charlie made a fool of you.
Well, I don't give him all the credit for it.
I don't much here, do you?
Yeah, you certainly did.
The Edgar Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturt, Rudy Whistler, Darrell Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, and Ray Noble will be back after station identification. From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Rudy Whistler, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's follow along as lovely Carol Richards strolls down memory lane with Moments to Remember.
Here we are, Mary. 50 years now.
That's right, Paul. 50 years. How about you know me?
That's a good idea. Please, Ma.
Oh, never mind, Pa. Don't get up. I'll go and get it. You know, Pa, I love to go through our scrapbook. Look, here's a picture of you as a baby lying on a bearskin rug. You don't have a hair on your head.
You're holding the book upside down.
And look at this page. Here's a picture of a kitchen on our first date. Oh, yes, sir. We really lived. Not lately, though, but we lived. Oh, you're right, Paul. We still have some lovely memories. Yes, we have some wonderful memories to remember.
Hello, Mater.
Hello, Pater. I'm home from school. I'm home.
Aw, it's our son, Esther.
I knew there was something I was trying to forget.
Though summer turns to winter and the presents disappear, the laughter we were glad to share will echo through the another day we'll find the we will have these moments to remember. These moments.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for our Meet the People department, tonight's guest is a man who is making an important contribution to highway safety. He has helped inaugurate driver education courses in our high schools and is the present supervisor of safety for the Los Angeles City Schools. I'd like you all to meet Cecil Bond.
Good evening. Well, Cecil, we're very happy to welcome you as our guest tonight. Anyone whose job helps train young people to drive safely certainly has our support.
Thank you, Edgar.
I recall a remark a well-known movie stuntman that Yakima Canute once made, or Canuta, I was the name. He said, for a living, I drive burning wagons over precipices and jump from trains and galloping horses. But you couldn't pay me to tangle in that traffic around Hollywood High when the school's letting out. He says, I'm a stuntman, not a fool.
Giacomo was probably right a few years ago, Edgar, but he'd be quite surprised at the improvement he'd see if he went around that same field today. The driving habits of boys and girls have certainly improved. Would you attribute a great change for the better to the popular driver education course now being taught in the high school?
Yes, I do. We still have a long ways to go, but I contribute to driver education and its companion course, the practice driving or driver training course.
Oh, I thought they were one and the same.
No, not quite. The driver education is a classroom course, Edgar, which is required for the graduation requirement in all of the high schools in the state of California, while driver training is actually a behind-the-wheel program for electives. And during the weeks of combined instruction, the nurses learn a great deal about safe and sane driving.
Well, exactly what do they learn, people?
First, the youngsters learn the ABCs of good driving. They learn the meaning of attitude while driving. Quite a bit about the vehicle code, which I'm sure the us oldsters never had an opportunity to learn. And also learn something about the economical use of the car.
Well, after they learn the theory, do they actually get behind the wheel?
Yes, a good many of them do. From there, they drive a school-owned, dual-controlled car. They drive it over a prescribed course with a trained instructor. They learn how to pass other vehicles, turn and back up, or even teach them how to park.
I didn't think high school kids had to be taught how to park. What about freeway and turnpike driving?
Well, we take them right out on the freeway after they've had some preliminary training. We don't get them out there right off of the bat by a long ways, but before we finish with them, as many as we can. After all, that's probably going to be the first place they head for anyhow. And we think that our training is just good freeway driving habits and techniques.
Bob Hope once gave a very good description of a freeway. He said a freeway was a place where you could drive for 16 miles without leaving the scene of an accident.
Well, sometimes we think that that's the way it is, but it's really not that bad. Our police department has come up with some pretty good figures on the causes of accidents. And we in the schools, in turn, pass the information on to our young people as we receive it. And on the freeway, for instance, following too closely and improper lane changing are at the top of accident causes.
Now, what is considered a safe distance to stay behind another car on the freeway?
1 car length for each 10 miles an hour speed. This means if you're traveling 55 miles an hour, you should be 5.5 car lengths behind the car ahead of you for safe traveling distance.
And 5 other eager beavers will scramble in ahead of you. Why do drivers tend to drive near the center white line?
Well, this would probably prove that they'd not taken our high school courses in driving, Edgar. We teach them there to judge the distances, which I think is one of the reasons that people get over the left-hand side where they can see the line. They just haven't learned to judge the distance on the right.
How many young people in California take driver education and driver training each year?
Well, there's about 100,000 tenth graders take the classroom driver education each year in the state. And this year in the city of Los Angeles alone, 25,000 of them will take the classroom course. And about 8,000 of this 25,000 will receive the behind-the-wheel training.
Well, this is an expensive training course, then, isn't it?
Well, it does cost us about $44 to train each one of them. Our $30 of this is reimbursed to the school district by the state of California.
Well, pretty cheap insurance for a generation of safe drivers. Taxpayers shouldn't object to that, then.
No, I'm sure they don't, especially when they realize that the money comes from the violators of traffic regulations. You got a traffic citation recently, Edgar, and wondered why you had to pay $11 instead of $10. There's a reason for it. That extra dollar was a penalty assessment for the state general fund, and it found its way back into our driver training program.
Oh, then I thought of helping the boy through driving school. What about the parents who want to give children driving training themselves?
Well, I'd like to evade that one, but that's one of the reasons for our course, Edgar. Fatalities on our highways kept mounting, and so did our insurance rates when we relied upon parents to teach their children to drive. It seems that parents pass along their own bad driving habits.
What's good enough for dad isn't necessarily good enough for the son. Tell me, people, in these courses, do you talk only about driving a car?
No.
We talk about bicycle safety quite a bit. We talk an awful lot about pedestrians.
Oh, that's right. There are pedestrians.
That's right. Well, we've discussed such things. When does a pedestrian have the right of way over a motor?
Well, I'd say when he's in an ambulance.
Edgar, I think you better sign up for our club.
Yeah, me. I'd like to, but I don't think I could get back into high school. Well, people, it sounds from what you've told us that the overall picture for the future generation is a much safer driving record.
Yes, it does. And the other day when I was out at Hollywood High School, Instructor John Abbott had a motto printed on his blackboard that I think could all profit by.
What was that?
He just had the simple words, the best driving rule is the golden rule.
Well, I don't think we could improve on that. Thank you very much for being our guest tonight, Cecil Rong.
Good night, Edmund. Good night.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here are the Mellow Men, who have just completed the slimming down course at Splendorella, so they can fit into their dungarees. And you know the reason why? Yes, it's a dungaree doll.
Dungaree doll, dungaree doll, paint your initials on my jeans, so everyone now don't go around. Together, together, together. Dungaree doll, dungaree doll, paint my picture on your sleeve, so everyone can see this is you belong to me. Forever, forever, forever.
I want you to wear my orange sweater, a beat-up sweater with a high school letter.
Gonna make a chain of paper clips and chain us together by two strings. Dungaree doll, dungaree doll, promise me you never will fall for any other guy. Tell me you are mine. Dungaree, 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 dungaree doll.
Got a cold, but you've got a job to do, too. Listen, take Super Anahit, the modern medicine that helps you feel better, look better, work better when you can't stay in bed with a cold.
Feel better.
Super Anahit relieves fever, headache, muscular pain.
Look better.
Super Anahit relieves sniffles, red watery eyes, sneezing.
Work better.
Super Anahit relieves that dragged out feeling, helps you resist after effects. Only Super Anahit does this with its five cold-fighting wonder drugs, now prescribed by doctors. So when you can't stay in bed with a cold, feel better, look better, work better. Take Super Anahit with concentrated vitamin C, regular and children's size tablets. Super Anahit.
Head cold miseries, stopped up nose.
Melt away mucus, relieve congestion with new Super Anahit antibiotic nasal spray. The only nasal spray with a germ-killing antibiotic plus mucus-melting fungicide. Open up stopped up nose, breathe again fast. Get Super Anahit antibiotic nasal spray.
Carol, Carol Ricketts.
What is it, Charlie?
Right now, I was wondering if you'd help me make my annual movie awards.
Oh, do you give out something like the Oscars for the best picture of the year?
Well, no, these awards are for the worst pictures. I give out egg cups.
Egg cups?
They lay them and we give them something to put them in.
Well, you know, it sounds very interesting.
Yeah, well, here we go. We now present...
The McCarthy Cavalcade of Flop. These pictures were so bad, the critics reviewed the popcorn.
These movies were shown only in theaters equipped with that new process, Cinema Magna Stereo Vidoptiscope, which means no screen at all.
We wait until a fat lady walks in and flash it on her back.
And now we present... First Egg Cup Award.
This was the year of political exposés, such as the Miami Story, the Houston Story, and the Phoenix City Story. Those were the successful ones. We want to present the one that failed.
The Skunk City Story.
That was a stinker. This is the story of Tax Anything McCarthy, a barefoot boy who became the richest political boss in the state. Our scene opens in the penthouse of an exclusive hotel in the state capital. As McCarthy is moving in, he makes a brief inspection and angrily storms to the phone.
Yeah, hello, manager.
Yes, sir.
This is Tax Anything McCarthy.
Yes, sir.
Send a poor chambermaid. My fiancée, she's decided to take a milk shower.
Milk shower?
Yeah.
But why does she need four chambermaids?
Somebody has to hold up the cow. Get on the ball, son. She is society. You there?
It's your fiancée, Pamela.
Oh, come in. La, la, la. Sometimes I think I'm buying her too much jewelry. I just love a cultured tomato.
How vulgar.
Yeah.
That's anything, remember. You're marrying into one of the oldest families in the Blue Book.
Yeah. Are you going to boast about how high class your parents are again?
Please, please. Yeah. I was so aristocratic. I had no parents.
Then how were you born?
I was ordered from Saks Fifth Avenue.
I think I'll open up a charge account there. I like the merchandise, and the wrapping ain't bad either. How about a little lunch, Tootsie?
Oh, that would be divine.
Okay. Let me summon my butler.
You rang, sir?
Yeah, we'd like a hunk of lunch. What do you have, Pamela?
Oh, perhaps some Romanoff caviar. And look at this. Oh, yes, some frog's legs.
Frog's legs? Ooh. Look, I'm rich. Bring her the whole frog.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Yes.
I'll hop to it. Oh. You get it, sir? No, frog, hop to it.
Yeah.
I say, that was a fist, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think someday I'll kill him. I don't know. Another tip like that and I'll pop you. I tell you, I will.
Oh, I say, sir, and speaking of pop,
yeah.
Should I serve you some champagne?
Oh, what year?
Oh, this year? You seem to be in a hurry.
And I'll answer the door. I'm expecting my assistant...
Hello, Tax Anything.
Hello, Collect Anything. Did you figure out any new taxes?
Oh, yes, Chief. I got the best one of all. We're going to put a tax on holes.
Holes?
No one will be able to make a donut without paying us.
Why, we'll be rich from Swiss cheese alone. Good boy. Good work there, I'll tell you. Now, you keep that up, Kirkwood, and we'll drive people to their graves.
Now, we're charging them for those holes, too. Here are the reports, Chief.
Yeah, the reports, eh? Yeah. These figures, they don't match, Kirkwood.
Oh, you hurt me, boy. You gotta trust me. You've got to think of me as your mother.
Well, all right. Wait a minute. Why have you got your hand in my wallet?
Don't you remember? You didn't buy me anything for Mother's Day.
Oh. You double-crossed me for the last time, Kirkwood. I'm pushing you out the window.
Oh, no, no. Yeah. No! No!
You rang, sir?
No, I pushed. Nobody double-crosses me.
Just a second, McCarthy. You won't get away with this.
Pamela, my society flower.
I'm not a society girl. I'm a reporter from the Daily Globe. And now I have enough proof to expose you.
No! Not the picture.
What happened?
The fat lady just walked out for some popcorn. I will scream. Now for our second Icarus Award. I didn't think that hen would make it.
This was the year of great Western dramas like Fred McMurray's At Gunpoint. But there was also the other kind, the psychological Western. Some were good and some were bad. And then there was... Tumbling, tumbleweed, tumbling down the old tumbleweed trail underneath the tumbleweed moon. Or...
Becky Thatcher goes east.
Home, home and the range, where the fears and the neuroses play. Where seldom is heard an intelligent word, cause what can a psychopath say?
This is the psychological drama of a cowboy whose mind is shattered by the conflict of emotions rising out of the heat and dust of the pitiless prairie.
I'm a crazy cowboy. I'm real crazy. My mind was shattered by the conflict of emotions rising out of the heat and the dust of the pitiless prairie. I'll never forget the day it all started. I was riding into town.
Hey, cowboy, you're riding your horse backwards.
Oh, how do you like that? I thought he was round-shouldered. That's when I knew my nerves were cracking. I walked into the bar and I called for the bartender.
You rang, sir?
I was really cracking. I didn't even know what movie I was in.
Cowboy, you want a drink?
Yeah, I'm tough. Give me a glass of milk.
I thought you said you were tough.
Well, all right. Put it in a dirty glass. Huh? What's the matter with me? I'd never ordered milk before. I staggered out of the bar with a homogenized hangover. And then she rode up.
Howdy, cowboy.
And who are you?
I'm Becky Thatcher, and I'm a-going the west.
She was riding her horse backwards, too.
Cowboy, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. You're in bad shape. Yeah. I'm a-taking you to a Western type psychiatrist.
Howdy, folks. I'm a Western type psychiatrist. This is a quickie. We can't waste any time.
You're a psychiatrist?
Yep. My name is Hopalong Freud.
Tell me, Doc, why you bent over that way?
I carry my own couch. Well, tell me about your childhood and color it up a bit. I hate a dull story.
Oh, yeah, please, boy. Please. I tell you, I'm going crazy.
Well, make it quick. I got a serious case in the next room. The fellow thinks he's a taxi cab.
Well, Doc, are you trying to help him?
Heck no. It's better than taking the buzz.
That's ridiculous. A man thinking he's a taxi cab.
Oh, I forgot. I left his meter running. Okay, Sam, I'm coming. And now for our third Egg Cup Award.
double feature. We've either got to get smaller eggs or bigger hens. I don't think he's having trouble back there.
This year, there were so many jungle pictures filmed in Africa, all the animals were getting agents. It was a difficult choice, but here it is. We now present the worst jungle picture of the year, entitled...
Or...
A safari beats its way into the impenetrable African jungle in search of the fabulous golden goddess. As they come to a crocodile-infested stream, their leader starts across.
Lead the way, Explorer McCarthy.
Okay, Explorer Kirkwood. Here I go. Ow! A crocodile just got me by the toe.
Well, don't worry if you get bit, boy. I got this bottle of crocodile cure with me. It's 90% alcohol.
What's the other 10%?
Who cares?
I don't know. Don't forget, you only take that stuff for crocodile bites.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Here, crocodile. Here, crocodile. I lose a lot of souls, but I have a lot of fun.
You know, Kirkwood, I think we're getting close to the golden goddess. I better call the native guide. Oh, guide?
Wonga bunga mingo gambo?
Now, what does that mean?
You rang, sir?
Oh. I'll throw that fellow to the crocodiles, father.
What happened?
They threw him back. Onward, safari. Listen, those jungle drums. Quick, guide Noble, what are the drums saying?
How should I know? I'm a piano player.
Oh, no.
I understand those drums. It's that cannibal disc jockey, Peter Potful. No, he's got a request for the number one song on the Cannibal Hit Parade. Tennessee Ernie singing 16 Tums.
Must be something wrong with the missionary he bought at the company store.
Save me, Florence, save me!
It's the golden goddess.
Oh, thank goodness you're here. But we'd better hurry. The elephants are stampeding.
Look out! There goes a big bull elephant.
Stop the picture.
Why?
That's no elephant. That's the fat lady going out of the arches. She's going all...
You know, folks, you can always put extra faith in a product when its manufacturer has a famous reputation to uphold. And believe me, nobody cares more about their reputation than the makers of CBS TV sets. Right, John?
Right indeed, Edgar.
CBS TV sets are made by a division of the Columbia Broadcasting System, a name that's been famous for great home entertainment for over 25 years. Naturally, the CBS people want you to receive TV programs in your home just as perfectly as they're sent from the studios. And that's why CBS TV sets are built the costlier way, with oversized screens, brighter picture tubes, Cascode turret tuners, and many other luxury features. Yet amazingly, you can own a beautiful 21-inch CBS TV set for as little as $169.95. No doubt about it. The new CBS TV sets in both 21 and giant 24-inch models are the first luxury sets in the popular price field. So make your next set a better set. Make it a CBS. And now here is Edgar Bergen.
It's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. And here he is with Snurd's Words for the Birds.
A person who sits down on a sharp tack is much better off.
Thank you, Mortimer. And until next Sunday, good night, everyone.
The Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sherrod, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Rudy Whistler, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rose, Hilda Black, and Zeno Klinker. Incidentally, if you're listening to us in your car, take it easy and drive carefully. Take a tip from the truck drivers. They know the rules and they drive by them. This is John Heaston speaking.